Jesus, we see him giving his life, but we also see many times when he preserves his life by escaping from crowds who want to murder him. So there are times to preserve your life, and there are times to give your life up. And doing what is right at the right time is very important, because the right move at the wrong time becomes the wrong move. There's another right thing that would be better at that time. And maybe that's not as black and white as people like things, but that's how things actually work. The Spirit of God leads us. Look at Christ himself as the ultimate example of this, because not just preserving his own life when he was alive. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. There are many ways to make peace. We know that ultimately when he comes on his white horse, he's going to make peace by smiting his enemies and destroying them. And though that brings peace, that is not generally considered to be in the spirit of what he meant when he said, blessed are the peacemakers. When his apostles came to him, disciples, I think at the time, came to him, and they said, shall these people over here who didn't receive you, shall we call down fire from heaven as Elijah did and destroy their city? And Jesus says, you do not know what spirit you are of. And some people take that to mean, oh, Jesus absolutely thinks that was awful and the sort of thing that we should never do. It wasn't that it was necessarily like, oh, the spirit of the devil. It was, you are not of the spirit of this time. This is the time where God is patient, long-suffering, and endures disgraceful treatment for the sake of our lives. But there is also a time when he does bring down fire out of heaven and destroy his enemies. In the book of Revelation, the two witnesses, fire proceeds out of their mouths. The two churches, out of their mouths proceeded fire that devours their enemies. Any man who would hurt them would be killed that way. The white horse rider is destiny. Whatever God has ordained, whatever conqueror will conquer and come forth, and he will prosper in his doing. This is under God's seal. This is under his authority. It shall be. Verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. He has this great large sword wherewith he makes war. A lot of times people say, who is the right? I don't think these are any who's. The seals are ideas. It is a book written within and without on the backside, and he opens the seal, and what does a horse pop out of the book? Information is revealed. What is revealed is what that writing is about. And these symbols encapsulate what God is trying to say in those seals. Under those seals. What is under those seals is these things. These are under his seal, under his authority, under his power. This isn't a pop-up book with bloop, here comes the horse, bloop, and they're popping out. Who is the white horse rider? Who is the red horse? Who? What? What does this mean? The horsemen are not so much who, but what. They mean something. Don't waste energy trying to attach these to specific men. Many men could fit into molds like these. But the seals contain information. The trumpets are actual signs, actual things that you should look out for, whereas the seals are not. This is information. This horse, obviously, people understand this symbolizes war. The coming forth of war. It's interesting that the first one is a conqueror and the second one is bringing war. Because one can conquer in more ways than with war. But if in the first one we have the spirit of conquest, we have here the spirit of conflict. Because when they go forth to enlarge their kingdoms, naturally that's at someone else's expense. And naturally from that comes conflict. And out of the conflict, they begin to kill each other. Verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And behold, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. When I was young, I remember that really used to confuse me because I was like, a penny? You know, 3 measures of wheat for, I mean, nothing costs a penny anymore. You can't even get a gumball for a penny. There's nothing that costs 1 cent. So it's a little confusing, you know, and obviously in Greek, this isn't a penny. This is a denarius, which at the time, I believe, was a day's wage. It's not hard to tell what this guy is all about because he holds these balances, the scales. And the scales represent economic issues. Obviously, buying and selling of food, the most important of all economic activities. He has a scale and a measure of wheat for a denarius. But this measure, the konix, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. A konix of wheat was a slave's daily ration, according to the information I have. Normally, that would cost about 1/8 of a denarius. But basically, the amount needed to feed a slave would cost an entire day's wages. And you think about what that would mean to families. A working man's day's wages would be consumed in enough food to feed one person. So this is obviously famine, lack of food, scarcity. Because the conquest and making war inevitably brings scarcity of goods and services. I always despise when people talk about how the wars brought us out of the Depression and all that. Some people say wars are good for economies. It's not really true. You're wasting goods. That's, I think, a popular myth. War is a colossal waste. Yes, more money gets spent borrowed, fixing things after you break them, and more money gets spent on bombs. But you're basically, you had an inventory of defense weapons, and now they're used up. You got to get more. It's a waste. It's a total wash and waste. When people say that, oh, it's good for this and that, no. That's a misunderstanding of the economics. War brings forth scarcity. It reduces the prosperity of a nation. And I know people think the common myth is that World War II, it brought us out of the Depression. Other factors brought us out of the Depression. The war itself is a net loss of assets. If you ever listen to old radio, you hear them talking about rationing coupons. They talk about how to make do when vital goods are difficult to obtain. There's no, you know, and I'm not an economist, but I've read books by economists, and there's no easy one solution, and I just dislike that sort of easy, flippant, like, oh, it does wonders for the economy. One country can prosper at the expense of another, but the net, the whole picture, what is happening overall is loss. It is loss.